This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart here with Dave Bourne, and happy Monday. It's nice to be here. I'm always in a good mood on Monday because it's the start of the week and nothing's gone horribly wrong yet. Dave Bourne, on the other hand, only likes Friday. Have you figured that out if you're listening
to Newsmakers? No, I like Wednesday because it's the downslide to the weekend.
Okay.
Here we are. Thursday's okay. Friday rocks. Saturday, Sunday.
And it's Monday, and it is full of promise, as always. My name is Brent DeHart, here with Dave Bourne. We talk about local issues, local ideas, local institutions, local individuals here to keep you informed in the Mid-Willamette Valley. And it's a beautiful day to live in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Today's topic is a little different. This was one of my invitees. I wanted to talk about this. I think it has a much bigger role and meaning and future in the community to some of my friends, some of the people around me. And I'm talking about the Salem Library. It's in the news right now, especially because they're moving. They're going to move the whole structure. We taxpayers, we voters, voted to have seismic upgrades happen at the library building. It's just south of City Hall. It's connected on that campus, has its own parking garage, and it's not up to snuff with the seismic and safety modern standards. So we voted to borrow the money, get the whole thing done, which necessitates the entire library operation to move out.
Right.
So
into several different buildings.
This
right?
is going to be
a one.
Okay. This is going to be big. Now you may be asking, what do we need a library for when we've got the internet? Whatever. I mean, there's just a bunch of books with dust on them.
Ouch.
I mean, who would go
with
to the library?
Lots right? of knowledge.
Well, we're going to answer that for you, and you're going to stick with us the whole hour. So thanks for joining us. In the studio, we're inviting in the city librarian, Sarah Strahl. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much, Brent.
Nice to have you. We were talking a little bit about the show, about Sarah's role. She heads the whole library staff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you got a lot to do. You got a lot of work to do. You got to move an entire library into a temporary facility.
We
right?
do, yeah.
And then move it back.
Yes.
How long is that construction process going
to
be?
It'll be about 12 to 18 months. 85% of the bond funds have to be spent by May of 2021. Yeah.
Oh, that's fast.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really fast.
Yeah.
Has the city already figured out who they're going to hire to do the work and all that?
Yeah.
It must.
Yes. So we are doing a progressive design build process. And so we hired the architect and the general contractor at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And so Howard S. Wright is the contractor, and KPFF is doing the engineering, and Hacker Architects, who specialize in libraries, or at least the architect that's assigned to our project specializes in libraries. So we are really enjoying the team and having everybody together in the same room talking through things at the same time.
So this design, is it everything you want it to be?
I think for it to be everything I would want it to be, it would probably need to be like $100 million bond and not the $18 million bond that it is. But I think it's a great opportunity with the fact that it's a seismic and safety project for us to reevaluate how the building is laid out and how we're doing things. So I feel like we're making some really great strides. And the project has a vision statement and a mission and values that go along with it, like being flexible and adaptable. I don't know if you've been in the library lately, but there are something like 18 very different carpets in the library. So thinking about how we can maybe tie some of those things together so it feels like you're in the same building everywhere you go
right.
in the library. Yeah.
Interesting. We're talking to Sarah Strahl, and she's the city librarian, looks over the entire staff there. I'm going to give you a chance during the hour to talk about the relevancy of the library. And you were talking before the show, is like, who do we serve and what do they do?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to that. And before we do, however, I want to hear about you and how you ended up in this role.
Yeah.
Because most of us did not go to library school.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But you did.
I did. I went to Indiana University School of Library and Information Science.
Those would be the Hoosiers, right?
Yes, okay. I am a Hoosier. And
sorry about the whole football thing.
It's fine. But So I went there for undergrad and grad school, and I worked as a librarian in the suburbs of Chicago for about 8 years. And I started out as a teen services librarian and then became the head of tech services and ended up as the assistant director of technology and technical services.
Wow.
There. So it was a pretty big role. I did a lot of the initiatives with electronic resources, and we had a Nook lending program back when Nooks were like all the rage in the late aughts, I guess.
Right, yeah.
So we were lending Nooks back then and giving people a chance to try out e-readers when they were still a new thing. And so I moved to Hillsborough in 2016. I got a job as the material services manager there. So that's all of the logistics of moving books around. It's a little like a miniature Amazon where,
nice.
You know, you have a lot of books that you're moving. And Hillsborough is a part of WCCLS, which is a countywide cooperative. And so we weren't just moving books through our two buildings, the Shute Park Library and the Brookwood branch, but also through all of the other libraries in the cooperative. And similarly here in Salem, we're a part of CCRLS. We just added one more library to that. So we move books around a lot here too.
We have a policy here at Newsmakers about acronyms. So
oh, yeah, sorry.
CCRLS.
Chemeketa Cooperative Regional Library Services.
There we go.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just heard you say I went to undergrad and I went to graduate school for librarian services, right?
Undergrad was criminal justice and anthropology, but I wanted to be a forensic anthropologist, but somehow I ended up a librarian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can see how they intersect.
Yeah.
Diverse.
Yeah.
And then what I heard was, well, throughout my career, I have grown to be exposed to services for teens, electronic library services, mm-hmm. and material management.
Yep.
So that's a pretty broad education for your whole career.
Yeah.
I can see why now you are the city librarian.
Right.
All right, let's clarify that real quick.
Yeah.
There's more than one librarian.
Right, of course.
It's not just you standing there.
I am
every
not
hour.
The only librarian. There are many of us. Although, you know, when people go to libraries, they often think that anybody who's working there is a librarian. They don't make
They're
that
not?
Distinction. Yeah, not everybody who works in a library has a library degree.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, but to me, I mean, a lot of the things that we are helping you find are, you know, things in the stacks. And so a lot of us can help with that. But for the deeper needing to be trained on how to find your next great read or do deeper dives into reference, that is something that librarians are trained for.
Reference and research and things like that.
Yeah,
it's more than just going to and taking one class in Dewey Decimal System.
Right. Yeah. Some libraries don't even use Dewey Decimal anymore.
I was going to say, does anybody still use that?
We do, but some libraries don't, yeah.
Did that make me sound old, Sarah, a little bit?
No. Okay. No, it did not.
Well, see, a librarian appreciates that.
Yeah.
We're talking to Sarah Strahl. She's the city librarian, which means you're heading up the city librarian services. How many librarians do we employ?
We employ, that's a good question. I think we have five senior librarians. We have five managers, and that includes the deputy city librarian other than myself. Most of them have library degrees or are librarians by background.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm trying to count up in my head how many other librarians we have.
Well,
but I think it's eight more librarians.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah. So we have, and they do a lot of the coordination, figuring out programs, all of that kind of, you know, they do a lot of that work too.
What kind of regulations are there or state statutes that determine or regulate what the city has to have in terms of librarians? I know you have to have credentialed people, and I thought there was a limit or even a quota. You had to have a certain number.
There is an ORS on that, on what you have to have, but it actually just changed this past year. And I don't think it includes that you have to have credentialed librarians, but it does say that you have to have paid staff. So I think, and that you need to have funding sourced through some structure. Otherwise, you would be considered like a volunteer library, or Cannon Beach, I believe, has like a private subscription library. So there are different kind of models with that.
But it's not a bad gig. If you're a credentialed librarian, it's not a bad civic job at all.
No, it's I love being a librarian.
So. All right, we're going to talk about that. We're going to take a quick break here in a second. And we're talking to Sarah Strahl. She's our city librarian of the city of Salem. Should have said that.
Yeah.
For the city of Salem, they're going to move everything, everything in February, and then they're going to move it back a year and a half later. So we're going to talk about the temporary quarters, and I want to know what does the library look like when you get back. I want to know how the library is being revisioned. And actually, I'd like everybody to find out what the heck a library does anymore. If you're older enough like me, I mean, we studied in college, and that's where we found the resources. And it wasn't that long ago I went to the city library to research something because I needed to write it was kind of an introduction to a concert, right? And a description. I'm like, well, I don't know anything about this composer, and I needed to write something on the composer, and I went to the city library to do it.
Awesome.
So all of these things, the kids, the families, the move, stick with us. This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. I chose the topic today
because I think
it's really important in the community. And thanks for sticking with us. We're talking about the library services of the city of Salem. And a lot of people, I think, don't realize what they do.
Yeah.
And they think of in terms of an old model. They think of terms of stacks of shelves. They think that this is an antiquated and we shouldn't be spending city dollars on it. And we're here to refute that a little bit, but also talk about the investment the community has made, because clearly the community has voted and said we have value to this library and we want to get it seismically upgraded and safe and so forth. So in the studio with us is Sarah Strahl, our city librarian. I pronounce that right, Strahl? Right?
Okay, yeah, good. Absolutely. Good
so
job.
Let's talk to the naysayers a little bit. What's the relevancy? Seriously, we got the internet now. You got, you know, you got Wikipedia. Anybody can look up anything. Why?
There's a great quote that I see a lot on, and I can't remember who said it, but Google can bring you back billions of results, but a librarian can bring you back the right one.
Oh,
yeah.
I like it.
Isn't that good?
There's going to be a lot of like librarian-related memes there somewhere.
Yeah. If you're part of library culture, you can find them pretty easily. But so I would say that there's definitely the deeper dives into research, making sure we're finding you the right things. We're also connectors to resources, right? Not everybody has the resources or wants to spend their resources to get the newest Tom Clancy novel or James Patterson or, you know, like those things that we like to consume but don't necessarily want to have in our home collections forever and forever, unless we love it so much by reading it from the library that we want to buy it at that point, which happens. But we, you know, we provide a lot of things. One of them is space for anyone who wants to come and study. We have homeschool groups that use the library and have like study groups there. We're a community forum. So right now our meeting rooms are closed as we're preparing to move. But usually we have meeting rooms where all sorts of different kinds of groups from, you know, poetry groups to political groups come and meet in the library and can use our places for their meetings. And so we have space is a huge thing for us, and having that is really important. Our teens have their own space and can hang out and play video games together. Or right now they're doing NaNoWriMo, the writing challenge. So the teens are really into that, and they've challenged themselves to write collectively something like 500,000 words in the month of November. Wow. So, yeah, right? So we have all, we're in it. What better place for teens to want to hang out than the library? I might be a little biased being a former teen services librarian.
Yeah, we don't want them in the pool hall, yeah. Right? Because we know what happens there, yeah. From watching The Music Man. Right? It means big trouble.
Yeah. But we have story times for kids. We also have, I love our discovery room so much. It is one of my favorite services that we provide.
Well, you better tell us about it then.
Yeah, absolutely. So our discovery room is a tactile learning experience. Right now, it's a lot of transportation things. There's like a little mini roller coaster that I love the most. And I'm using the word roller coaster very, very liberally because it's basically just a little couple of plastic connected things and then a little tiny thing that goes up and down two tiny little hills that are not big at all. But it's super cute and super fun. We have, you know, and we have changing themes in that room. It's been dinosaurs. It's been farms. It's been, you know, other things that are just really wonderful. And it's a great learning in like immersive learning experience for kids to be able to come in and play and learn while they're playing.
So the discovery room is for targets ages what?
It's usually, I think, right into the preschool to early kindergarten level. But I mean, I like some of the stuff that we have in there too. So the dinosaur stuff was super cool. So yeah, I mean, I think it could be for kids of all ages, but the target range is really for families and for kids that are in that like pre-K to early learning.
Kind of to spark that yeah. Learning thing.
Right. Yeah. It's really, I mean, early learning and early literacy is some of the biggest things that libraries provide. Our story times are booked. You know, we have lots and lots of people at our story times. We had to start a ticketing system to...
What?
Yeah, to make sure that we could provide the story time.
Wow.
You know, do some of that. So yeah, our story times are awesome.
So
yeah.
that story time, that's ages 6 and below, kind yeah. of the preschool yep, and kindergarten age. And
it's preschool, yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Very interesting. You know, I'm married to a early childhood educator.
Yeah.
So, and you know, we need to be reminded as a community that not everybody can afford to go to the private preschool.
No. Yeah.
Not everybody is going to get slotted into a Head Start in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right? And the early childhood brain development is so critical. And yeah. I like that you said it's immersive.
Yeah.
Kids have to be able to touch things.
Yeah.
They got to be able to touch things, see things, be ignited by things. So yeah. That's really cool. So yeah. You've already mentioned that you've got the segment for early childhood education.
Yeah.
And story time and things for new and changing yeah. themes, and you've got a teen space.
Yes.
I was surprised you said video games.
Yeah. Well, and you know, they play the video games there or do puzzles. Our foundation is very generous and has what they call a sprinkles grant. And so any idea that comes out of anyone on the staff, they can apply for this grant through the foundation and get money to fund different cool initiatives. It's the sprinkles on the library is the cake, and it's the sprinkles on the cake, right? And so our teen services librarian has actually bought equipment she calls it the Wayback Station. So it's an old typewriter. It's a rotary telephone. It's some of the things to like teach teenagers about what technology look like before it looks like what it does now.
Yeah, I saw something on the internet, and they were younger people being handed a rotary telephone and say, can you figure out how this thing used to work? And they were trying to push all the buttons and yeah. And they couldn't figure out how the rotary telephone worked.
Yeah.
That was really interesting. It's like, oh gosh, I'm an antique too. Holy cow. I wish I'd known that. I just like literally, I think I gave away my IBM Selectric from 1980, you know, and I could have donated it to the library.
I could have hung on to mine for, you know, a museum later on.
Yeah.
And so you have, you said you had space. There's still an amphitheater there. Will that still be there after the retrofit?
Yeah, Laux is still going to be there. Yep.
Laux Auditorium, absolutely. Which can be rented.
Yes,
I know some
absolutely.
People do that for lectures, for political meetings.
Yeah.
For I knew somebody that did These Are Our Travels kind of reflections and speeches and things like that. That's a cool space.
Yeah. And we have our own programs as well, you know, book clubs and We did a really great series on death and dying and how to prepare, you know, make sure you have a will and, you know, all of the paperwork that you need and what really goes into deciding all of the things that need to happen at end of life care. And so, you know, that was a really popular program that we did that I think was really well received by the community. I mean, it sounds like a really morbid topic, but it's kind of the practicalities that nobody thinks about.
We did a whole show on that.
Oh, did you? Great.
Dave loves it when I want to talk about end-of-life things on the radio. Yeah. That makes for great radio. Let's talk about end-of-life things.
And we do book lists and displays and we have, we have a huge collection and we have not only paperback books and hardcover books, but we have magazines, we have ebooks, we have audiobooks, both in physical and online form. I love our online audiobooks a lot, and I highly recommend for the commuter in your life, if you want to download audiobooks and just listen to them in your car, it's a great way to do that. We have a couple of apps that you can download and get that.
Really? I can get that through the Salem Library?
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Because I need to be a resident of the city of Salem to get it those services for free.
Yeah.
And if I'm outside, say I'm in the Jan Ray area or Kaiserite, I can pay into this consortium?
Yes. Yeah, you can. We are a part of a consortium, CCRLS, as I said, and you can pay, I believe it's $10 for a basic card. I may be wrong about that, though. I am just now learning how to do card registrations.
Okay.
So my knowledge of that is, don't quote me on that one, even though I'm just saying that into a radio microphone.
So, Sarah Strahl, how did you end up being the city librarian for the city of Salem? We talked a little bit about your education in Indiana and your work in Chicago, and then you were in Hillsboro.
Yes.
And now you're top dog in Salem. Is this, did you give yourself a promotion by responding to an open position?
I did. There was an opening, and I, you know, saw the opportunity of the seismic retrofit and this community in and of itself. And, you know, it was a tough and competitive process. It was a day-long process. I ended up coming to the talent show that night because it had been promoted to me, like, we have a talent show tonight if you want. And I came to the talent show. It was my first experience in Laux Auditorium during seeing what our talent show was like there. That's another great program that we have, by the way. And Salem Reads. I can't not talk about Salem Reads. But anyway.
Oh, we'll talk about it right after the break. How about that? We'll take
that
a quick break.
Good.
We'll come right back and you can tell me how I can get into the talent show, right? And Dave too.
Boy,
here we go. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We're talking to city librarian Sarah Strahl, and there's more to come with issues you didn't predict. 1430 KYKN Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. Appreciate you being with us this noon hour on Monday, where you're talking with Sarah Strahl, city librarian of the city of Salem. The library fascinates me in terms of I know that there's so many great things happening there, but I haven't taken the time to stay up to speed on the things that are happening. And I know a lot of you might be listening thinking, I don't know what year it was when I was the last in the library and who's using that. And we're learning it today. Also at issue is how much the taxpayer spends on upgrading this library and why are we doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And who are we serving? Who are we serving and what do they use it for? And I want to tackle that in this segment. But before we go further, I want to latch on. You mentioned before the break about you can check out ebooks.
Yes.
And I listen to a lot of things in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like to be distracted by learning something all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm learning about ancient Rome. Now I'm learning about changes in origin and changes the English language over the centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And what else am I learning about? Darwinism, all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you can check out ebooks from the Salem Library, I would not have known.
Yeah. So we have actually a couple different ebook systems. We're a part of Oregon Digital Library Consortium, another acronym for you, ODLC. And we get ebooks through a system, a platform called Libby. And so we can connect with all of the other libraries in Oregon that way. Not all of them, but most of them have opted into Oregon Digital Library Consortium. And so lots and lots of ebooks for our patrons. And some of them have long holds list. And there are some things that are happening in the publishing industry that probably we don't have time to go into on this show, but just know that there are some pushback from some publishers that impedes access in a way that we haven't had to deal with before. But the main point is that we have this great service. We have a kiosk for our cloud library service, which is the other service that we have that you can get ebooks on. And we're also connected to a few other Oregon libraries that way to be able to get more access to materials. But we really do have a kiosk at Center 50 Plus that you can actually browse the ebooks on this kiosk and check out and have it sent to your app when you're ready to open the app on your phone.
That's nice. So cool.
Yeah.
And Dave was talking during the break, your mom has moved to ebooks.
Yeah, she's much older, obviously, and she was stuck in her ways of reading the books. She loved to check out the books and read the books and return the books all the time. And now her arthritis has gotten so bad she can't hold the books anymore. And now she has a Kindle, and now she checks out the ebooks all the time on that. And she loves it.
Yeah.
And the fact is, you know, a lot of people love to learn and read that can't just afford to go on Amazon.com and buy the latest hardcover.
Yeah, right.
Right? But you guys get the latest hardcover, and then you can check it out.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk a little bit about, that's interesting. So I'm going to take a deeper dive and maybe get my library card renewed.
Yes.
Do that. The library itself, of course, the main campus is there. Next to the Civic Center.
Right.
There's a West Salem branch.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
And there's at least some element of bookmobile services as well.
Right. We do have the bookmobile goes to all of the first grades in the Salem district once a year. Yeah. So it hits every first grade and signs up kids for their library card and gets them ready to go. Yeah.
So does that go around and they can check out books from the bookmobile while it's at school?
Yeah.
And geared towards that age range and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, every elementary school is having its own library, right?
To some degree. I don't know as much about Salem Kaiser's. I know that our children's staff know a lot about Salem Kaiser's stuff, and I think they do usually have a library, but they tend to call it like a media center or media lab.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have, not necessarily librarians, but I don't know the ins and outs of each school and their statistics.
So library, we think is a quiet person, and there's a woman saying shh all the time in a place, and
that's
it's stacks of books. Is this our father's?
Yes.
Is this our father's library still? No.
It is not like that anymore. Libraries, you know, we have spaces that can be quiet in the library that are meant to be more quiet, reflective, contemplative reading spaces. But then we also have, you know, Laux Auditorium, where we have rock concerts and talent shows. We have noisy groups of teenagers in the teen space who are having a great time. The discovery room can often be quite loud. And, you know, when I was talking about story times, it's not just reading a book out loud. It's also doing lots of fun dances and, you know, singing songs and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's a lot that isn't necessarily super quiet in the library.
So we talk about relevancy, relevancy to a community, and should a community have this? And I remember I moved to the community in 1990. And at the time, I was going through the library and thinking, this is a remarkable space for a community of this size.
Right.
I was really impressed by it. And now, of course, we are, almost 30 years later. almost 30 years later, I've lived in the Salem community. And the relevancy and the changes and the maturity answer the question for us we were talking about before the break. Who's using the library? And what services are they using? Obviously, the discovery room.
Yeah.
The teens are coming.
Yeah.
Who's using it? Who's your demographic?
Well, it's for everyone, right? It's for everyone in the community. Anyone can use it if you are living in the city of Salem. And we already talked about some of the other ways you can access it. But different groups use it different ways. Millennials are actually a pretty big user of libraries. And, we have families are a huge group. Seniors are also a big group. We also have a partnership with the Assistance League of Oregon, of Salem, and we call it Operation Bookshelf. And so we actually have some libraries that are located in some senior centers and send out through the Assistance League volunteers, they actually will take books to homebound patrons so that they have access to materials. Isn't that great?
Wow, that is great.
Yeah. So it's really is for everybody in the community. It's kind of the great equalizer. If you don't have internet access and a computer and a printer at home, you can come to the library and use that, right? If you just need a place to sit and do some work on your own laptop, but you don't want to pay Starbucks cost for Wi-Fi, you can come to the library. We have Wi-Fi. You know, it's that kind of thing where we can really, there's probably something for, we can't be all things to all people, but there is something for everyone. I truly believe that at the library.
How much can we expect of the library services are going to be available to us in the temporary home?
It's going to be very scaled down. We are moving from a over 90,000 square foot building into about a 14,000 square foot building.
Aye.
Yeah. West Salem will be open throughout construction, but this building is going to be a lot closer in size to West Salem. It's at 1400 Broadway Northeast in Salem. The signs are up. And the construction is getting close to being done, but we are moving shelves over there soon. And it's only going to hold about 22,000 items. So, and the last snapshot I heard was we had about 60,000 items checked out. And we'll be continuing to order, you know, somewhere in the realm of 30,000 items a year. So we're going to be storing a lot of materials.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And luckily, we found out recently that we can do a lot of on-site storage, that there are going to be places where the construction's not going to touch. So we'll be able to use some of our compact storage that we have in out-of-the-way spaces now to do a lot of the storing. But we won't be able to access those items.
We're talking to city librarian at the City of Salem, Sarah Strahl. You've been on the job a little over a year, is that right?
Year and a half almost,
so
yeah.
Now you're the boss lady here. And
yes.
That's a big career move.
It is.
And you jumped in at a time where you have to. It's probably the biggest task the Salem Library has ever had since it was opened is like move it out and move it back in.
Mm-hmm.
So it just felt like a challenge. It was time for your career to take the big step.
I do love a challenge. And I saw it as a challenge, but a big opportunity. I mean, the Salem Library is really beloved in this community, and all library service is evolving. All libraries are evolving, and I want to be a part of the evolution of the Salem Public Library.
I forgot to ask you when you are, I would talk about who uses, who are the users.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of university students in?
We do get some, yeah. They do have often their own libraries. Willamette and Chemeketa both have their own library services.
And Corbin?
I think Corbin does, but yeah, we do welcome the university students, and they do sometimes like to use us both for their more popular materials for their leisure reading if they ever get time to do that, and some of the other things we offer. You know, we have CDs, DVDs, and other things. If you're a college student who doesn't have a lot of disposable income, we're a great place to come and rent a DVD. So,
oh, yeah. Entertainment DVD.
Yeah. Entertainment DVD. We also have, we have DVDs. We have movies online too. I forgot to say that. We have Canopy.
Oh, wow.
You can check out movies online, including great courses and some of the other really awesome movies. So, yeah, we have a service called Canopy. We also have a service called Creative Bug that will teach you how to knit and crochet and sew and all sorts of other crafty things.
Oh, good, because I need another hobby. We're talking to Sarah Strahl. We're going to have one more segment and touch base on how the library works and how it doesn't work without you folks, the volunteers, the Library Advisory Board, the City of Salem, and a foundation all kind of combined to make this thing work in our community. Stick with us. This is Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne in the studio with us.
In the house.
Sarah Strahl, city librarian. We pulled her out of the library and brought it into the studio to talk about how the library is closing. It's coming up. Mm-hmm. What day are you closing?
We are closing the main library location on February 3rd. February 2nd is the last day we are open.
Okay, come in and you can check it out February 2nd, but mm-hmm. when I bring my book back...
Yes, you will be bringing it back to the Broadway location, 1400 Broadway Northeast, and it will have a book drop. It will have parking, free parking.
Free parking. That's kind of an issue you were mentioning before the hour.
Yeah.
That the fact that there's parking meters at the library and the parking structure attaches to, some people view that as a deterrent.
Our library advisory board, it's one of the main issues that they're very concerned about is having access to the library mm-hmm. and providing as much access as possible. And they feel like, especially having quartered meters, prevents that access. So it's something that I think there's also an opportunity to really look at and see if we can address during the seismic. It's not a part of that project, but it's something that while we have that time, a way that we can really look at.
Yeah, Sarah, and infrastructure is important, and mm-hmm. it's a two-story structure, but you know, it costs money
yes.
to build it. It costs money to maintain it and keep it up.
I can't imagine the heating bill too.
The meters, it's an outdoor parking structure, but
yeah. The library.
Oh yes. All of that. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
All right. So then the facility, it's on Broadway. It's just north of Market Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the east side of the street.
Yeah.
I think it used to have a uniform laundry.
And
facility,
it was a Capital Press, agriculture
right.
Periodical. Yeah,
that's right. But you do have parking spaces there.
We do have parking spaces there. It's also on a bus line, so it's got good access. And we're still working on what the hours are going to be at that location, but we should be talking about that more publicly in a few weeks.
All right. So main library are closed. That'll put a lot of pressure on the much smaller location on Broadway and on the West Salem branch as well.
Yeah. And we'll also be sending people out into the community much more than we have. You know, I talked about the Operation Bookshelf and the Assistance League volunteers, mm-hmm. but we're already sending people. We have a story time at some of the Head Starts and some of the preschools. We're going to be really expanding on that outreach and what we can do at that time, because we know we can't provide all of the services that we would like. But Salem Reads will still be happening, and we'll be renting some spaces to have those Salem Reads programs. It's a partnership with the foundation to have everybody in the city read the same book and have some really good conversations around that.
That's cool.
Yeah. And this year's title is called Piecing Me Together. Yeah.
Piecing Me Together.
Yep. Oh. Yeah. And you can check it out at the library.
That'd be a tough job for somebody to do with me, piecing me together. One coherent thing, coherent thought. And you mentioned it, you know, as throughout the hour, but you're mentioning people that are really volunteering their time.
Yes.
For the library.
Yeah.
And the Friends of the Library is kind of support group. How would you describe that?
The Friends of the Library, actually, they take donations. Any donations that come to the library go straight to the Friends first. They have first right of refusal of that. And when an item in the library has outlived its useful life for us, you know, if we have 10 copies of the next James Patterson bestseller in a year or two, we're only going to need 2 copies of that on the shelf still, and we have to make way for the other 30,000 items that we're going to have come in that year. And so they take those items and they turn them around and sell them to people who want them
mm-hmm.
and can find another life for them. And then they fund programs like our summer reading club and all sorts of other great stuff through that. And they've existed since 1965.
Holy cow. And those are all
volunteers. Like a circle of life.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's the natural circle of life of library materials.
Nice.
Yeah. And then we also have the foundation. And they exist. They say that they add the pizzazz to the library, the sprinkles grant. They have donors and some different fundraising opportunities, and they do Salem Reads. They helped us buy these really amazing scanning stations, so people can scan documents to email and to all sorts of other things. So yeah, they helped us get that as a service for people. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, if you're listening to this and you haven't been in a library this decade, then I think you'd be surprised, especially after the move. So
yeah.
You said it's about a year and a half of construction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So one thing is it will be seismically stable, life safety standards. So we might not be able to stay in the library forever after that, but we will at least be able to get everybody out of the library safely should the Cascadia event occur.
When the Cascadia event occurs.
And also other safety standards to make sure that we're up to code. The last big construction project was in 1991, and it added on Laux Auditorium and some of that front space. And so a lot of our stuff is at end of life as well. A lot of our systems, like mechanical, electrical, plumbing, those kinds of things. So that's all being renewed.
Yes.
And then we're going to have, you know, it's going to be an opportunity to really look at how we're using that space. So right now the teens are in the furthest corner from the youth services area. And if you're a parent of a teen, and you have a small child too, then you have to send your teen down two flights of stairs to the furthest point away from you and then go find them again when you're done. And so we're actually going to move the teens up to the third floor, and they're going to be getting more space for their collections and for all of the different teen activities that we do. And so it'll be all youth services all on the third floor.
I think a lot of people would be surprised if they were listening to this to how much use the library gets through the entire spectrum of life.
Yeah.
And it's like from pre-K to the elderly, and the teens are even showing up, and college students are showing up, and avid readers, and people looking for DVDs, and people for ebooks, and commuters, and everything else.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is very, very much relevant and alive. And you used a word when I talked about how it's not the last generations, but it's evolving.
Yeah, it's evolving.
Library services are evolving.
Yeah.
So is your education even relevant anymore? Heck, I've been doing this like 10 years. So now a library is something new.
There is a whole category of things we call stuff they didn't teach you in library school. but some of the philosophy things like intellectual freedom and, you know, every book their reader and every reader their book, those things are the things that I think we get the best grounding of in library school, and I think are still applicable today.
I think there's people, as we maybe get to a higher socioeconomic class, we forget how difficult it is, you know, to have access to this and the knowledge and the programs and things to do for the family that are safe and helpful. And you call it the great equalizer, and I'm with you there.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So you've got a foundation. These are passionate people in our community, right? You got a foundation, and that means the money.
Yeah.
Right? And you've got the friends, and they are repurposing and helping you thin the stacks and go into and create, again, more money for the newer things as the older things and so forth. Is it a controversy in the community what you have in the library and what you don't?
Sometimes. Yeah, absolutely. It can be controversial, and every library faces that. We have a collection development policy that we hope helps us, you know, make sure that we're providing things, because we are a public library. We're not a repository. We're not an archive. So we want to make sure that we have the things that reflect this community and are meeting the needs of this community, right?
Is there a book in your library,
in
your library, Sarah Stahl, that hasn't been checked out since 1952?
Hopefully not anymore, but at some points there have definitely been some things like that, yes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're talking to Sarah Stahl. She's the city librarian, oversees the staff. She's tasked with moving this entire thing into a much smaller community. And hey, folks, I hope you've learned something during the hour, that this is something that we definitely want to have a vital, in our vital community, any community our size needs to have a robust library presence. We can argue about funding and whether or not we should have more police officers or more librarians in the budget, whether or not we should fund West Salem Branch or a police precinct in Northeast Salem. All of these things are fighting over the budget, and you make your best case to the city manager and to the city councilors, but it's really important what you do, that we keep it going.
Thank you for saying that.
And I'm glad that we get to expose you a little bit, and so that people realize that it absolutely belongs in the general fund. And we're going to, and our community is the better for it, honestly. Right?
Thank you. Yeah.
All right. That's it for Newsmakers today. Sarah Stahl has been our guest. She's a city librarian. Is so glad to take part of your work day up and talk to us here on KYKN.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Hey, let's do this again tomorrow, Dave.
Okay.
There's more to come. So we'll have guests or some fascinating
talk. We got the mayor tomorrow.
The mayor. Let's talk to the mayor. We're talking about the library.
Yeah.
This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you've been listening to 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN.